Today on Compassion Radio.
If Jesus is truly going to be worshiped, he needs to be listened to. And we need to keep encouraging others to dig into his words, the red letters, and his first person friends who walked the earth and say, how did they deal with his word? How did they proceed with that word into the world and emulate it? Mm-hmm. That's what the word of God is telling us in Acts. Follow the footsteps of Barnabas and Paul and Apollos and John Mark. Go with them where they went so you see how they did it. And think about how that might literally translate into your lifestyle today.
That's the way we chase the word,
yeah.
By following after them.
Hello, and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Well, it's Monday, and that means it's time for Chasing the Word Together. In this weekly series, Bram and his wife Sandy take us on a journey into the lives of the earliest Christians with a look at what it means to have an authentic, world-changing faith. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18, and we'll get started.
Honey, we're in for another round of this Chasing the Word series. This is Acts chapter 18. Now, let's go through a quick recap of why we do this series.
We do this series because we want to encourage those listening to the program to chase the word together. We enjoy doing it. We have grown immensely. I know I have in our walk with the Lord because of the time we spend together in the word. And it's always a good idea to bounce ideas back and forth to each other and encouragements and even to wrestle it out to get the full picture of what God is saying through the scripture.
The question, I think, comes up more than once, even for us, as we talk about how to deal with a scripture in a modern context. Mm-hmm. Why chase it? What's the point of chasing the word? It's not like a great bumper sticker, but it actually has a meaning for us. So I'll let you start with what your take on that term means.
Chasing the word has always been a great visual picture for me. When I was a little girl, we used to play chase in the neighborhood, and you wanted to catch the other person, you know, so that you wouldn't be, quote, it anymore. Mm-hmm. Or to chase after something is to pursue it wholeheartedly. And so I think that's a good picture of what we're doing as we read the scripture together. We're chasing after it. We're pursuing it wholeheartedly so that we get everything we possibly can out of it.
And for me, it has the connotation of the word's on the move. I mean, it's going places and it is not easily pegged down.
Not
if
yet.
We think we've got it nailed to where it has one meaning and one meaning only, we're not really dealing with a person. And I do strongly believe that when we talk about the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This whole book is not just about God and about his work through Jesus. It is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he's a living being. He's one that flows through his creation and goes to where he wants to pay attention to things in the time that we can see him move. Does that mean he's not aware of everything at once? No. It simply means that there are things that happen in certain times where you know that somebody you love is active doing something, and you go to where they are. And in our time, day to day, we sense God moving in certain ways, in certain places. But there are also themes that are eternal, that happen throughout all time. So we go to the Word to find out what was Paul and Apollos and Luke and John Mark and Barnabas all going through during their journeys across the Middle East and now pushing up into the middle parts of Europe through different seasons of year. We know they go through these different seasons, and God was already there waiting for them and drawing them close to where he was because he wanted to show his hand at work. I really believe, honey, this is what God is doing in our time, in his ways, but universally, he has a theme, and that is to reach people where they are to build his kingdom. And he's still doing it. So as we chase the word, we're finding out not just what God did, but how God operates and how he's actually working today.
Well, we don't chase after things that are not valuable.
That too.
We chase after things that are important to us, that have great value, that we believe will benefit us. As a team here at Compassion Radio, we believe that the Word of God will benefit us on levels that are astronomical.
Yeah, reaching for the stars.
Yes.
Now, when we catch God at work, we kind of get the jolt of seeing his hand work and the sense that his spirit is working in us. I think when we catch him, he doesn't just reveal something, an idea to us. He literally pours his power into us and therefore empowers us to do his work in new ways. We benefit greatly because we see him, experience him, and know him.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he empowers us to do the things that build his kingdom and make it possible for others to do their work too. Compassion Radio as an organization, of course, is a partner organization. We teach, we encourage, and we motivate the people that we talk to every day.
Mm-hmm.
More than that, though, we join together with you, our listeners, to do things, to partner with other missions, other people, other places, and other bodies within the kingdom of God around the world to accomplish his task in this generation, in this century.
Mm-hmm.
We really do believe that the Great Commission is working itself out like never before.
Yes, we do.
In the 21st century. So here we go. Let's jump right into chapter 18.
All right. So here we see from Athens, Paul traveled to Corinth alone. He found a Jewish man there named Aquila, originally from Pontus. Aquila and his wife Priscilla had recently come to Corinth from Italy because Claudius had banished all Jews from Rome. Paul visited them in their home and discovered that they shared the same trade of tent making. What a coincidence. He then became their long-term guest and joined them in their tent making business. Each Sabbath, he would engage both Jews and Greeks in debate in the synagogue in an attempt to persuade them of his message. Eventually, Silas and Timothy left Macedonia and joined him in Corinth. They found him fully occupied by proclaiming the message, testifying to the Jewish people that Jesus was God's anointed, the liberating king. Eventually, though, some of them stopped listening and began insulting him. He shook the dust off his garments in protest. "Okay," he said, "I've done all I can for you. You are responsible for your own destiny before God. From now on, I will bring the good news to the outsiders." It occurs to me here that there are those who will listen to you for a time when you're trying to persuade them, and they will listen and perhaps debate for the sake of debating, but they've already made up their minds not to be persuaded. And they get tired of the argument and they're done with you. And so instead of saying, "I don't believe," or "I don't want to talk about this anymore," they begin to insult you.
Yeah.
We see this on social media all the time. So,
yes, the synagogues and the speaker's corners in all of these Roman cities were kind of like the Facebook is today.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as far of a reach, of course. You can't reach across the entire planet in 12 seconds and insult somebody in another country like we can now.
That's just too bad.
Yeah. But at the same time, these people represented an entire way of life,
mm-hmm.
an entire school of thought, an entire worldview. And this is still, I think, a battle that Christians go through internally. How do you deal with those who are set in their ways? And of course, you have to recognize that there, but for the grace of God, go I. We can be very set in our ways to the exclusion of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We can be so convinced that we're right about a point about Jesus that we forget Jesus and stick to our points.
Mm-hmm.
And so loving people through this transformation of thinking is difficult. It's something the Spirit himself has to lead. Now, think about even modern day now. The people that are probably doing the strongest efforts at evangelizing within Israel, the nation state now, are the Messianic Jews, which are exactly the kind of people that Paul and Priscilla and Aquila are.
Mm-hmm.
They are people who understand their history and their heritage and their legacy within Jewish faith, but they're not settling for a traditional faith. They're only settling for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Messianic Jews in Israel and the Middle East today are doing the very same thing. They're engaging their people in such a way that it brings a point of conflict at times, but also sometimes open doors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Christians in the West don't understand the dynamics of this so much, but we can read over the shoulders of these modern missionaries within Judaism by reading these stories in Acts.
That's a good point.
And so we see Paul at his frustration level. We have to assume a little bit here that the Holy Spirit himself is the motivation factor, and he is also the personality and the power behind the argument. So in some ways, when Paul says he'd had enough, he's also speaking with the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit himself has had enough of this. There's only so long that the Spirit is going to suffer insolence from those who claim to be followers of the one true God.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a frightening place to be.
Yeah, it is. And so Paul is literally stepping aside. I don't think he's saying that he will never go again to another believer in the Jewish God. I think he's simply saying that those who hold to their racism, their selfishness, their insolence will never again be approached.
Mm-hmm. And these are the religious people. These are the people of the synagogue, the people of the church, if you will, who are holding to these beliefs. And Paul is saying to them, okay, your destiny is in your hands.
Yeah. And you bring down the wrath of God on your heads if you keep this up. Mm-hmm. But he's also appealing to those who are the Greeks among them that had adopted this culture and had reasoned their way to faith. They accept that there is a one true God, and they look at all the paganism around them, and they are already traitors to their paganism. They were raised in this. Mm-hmm. They are ethnically multi-God worshipers. They are pagans. And yet they turned to this faith and said, there is one true God. We've got to find him. And they adopt the same kind of insolent behavior against God expressing himself the way he's already revealing himself in Jesus. Then they're in danger, too, of following their Jewish friends down the toilet. Mm-hmm. And so he's appealing to them, I think, saying, step away from this. Step into the light where Jesus is and learn about him as God's true expression. So he's making an appeal to them saying, if you won't, as ethnic and racial Jews, accept this message, at least maybe the outsiders among you and those outside of you might find their way to Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he is appealing to the Greeks that are right there with him. He's not saying all of you are gone.
Right.
He's appealing to anybody who's willing to step outside the traditions and say, look, God is revealing himself in a new way and we need to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Anywhere the gospel goes today is like that. You have to step out of some old way of looking at the world or old way of worshiping or old God you worshiped and say, wait a minute, this isn't what I thought it was. And you're telling about a God who I was always hoping would be the one true God, but you're saying that when I worship is not him. That's very disruptive. Mm-hmm. So it is a tough, tough thing. And we need to take that into account. These are real people with real feelings and emotions and limitations and pride. Just like today. Mm-hmm. So we can't be so judgmental against those Jews at the time and just disregard them. We have to take seriously that this is indicative of a human condition. And we're still living in a time like this. There are a lot of people in churches that act just like this.
Absolutely.
They're unwilling to hear God speak in this generation. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful about that. And I'm not encouraging anybody to dismiss them. But if the Holy Spirit says, it's time to go, you got to stand up and walk, that's a tough thing to do.
It is.
So again, we're not advocating for any disruption within the church, other than to say, if Jesus is truly going to be worshiped, he needs to be listened to. Mm. And we need to keep encouraging others to dig into his words, the red letters, and his first person friends who walked the earth and say, how did they deal with his word? How did they proceed with that word into the world and emulate it? Mm-hmm. That's what the word of God is telling us in Acts. Follow the footsteps of Barnabas and Paul and Apollos and John Mark. Go with them where they went so you see how they did it. And think about how that might literally translate into your lifestyle today.
That's the way we chase the word,
by
following after them.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build his kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to his kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our Vision Team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our Vision Team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
Back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
After leaving that synagogue and talking about how he's going to reach the Gentiles, he moved on from there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, who worshiped God and whose house was next door to the synagogue. Think about that. Walk out one door, right back in the other. He had to note he was there, of course. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, joyfully acknowledging him as Messiah and Savior. Pause. He just said he's walking out the door and walks next door to where a Greek is accepting God and walking in the way. Mm-hmm. The leader of the synagogue next door also realizes he has to leave.
Right.
This is a very schismatic event. In Corinth here, we have the one true believing body, right? The synagogue of the city. And now we have a schism right down the middle. Mm-hmm. We have the leader of that entire body walking out with Paul to walk in and under the house of a Greek who's next door.
That's a big deal for him because that's potentially his livelihood. Mm-hmm. And he's leaving his livelihood. He's stepping away from what's taking care of his family.
And it would have seemed to the Jewish believers of the time as outrageous as today, the Pope becoming a Hindu or a leader of the Protestant church in the West doing the same, literally crossing lines completely. Mm-hmm. It was that disruptive. Mm-hmm. And we need to acknowledge that in this one sentence is a world of massive change. Mm-hmm. And in that statement, too, is that hopefulness. They were joyfully acknowledging Jesus as Messiah and Savior. Joyfully. Mm-hmm. Not just assenting to a new truth, which is disruptive, but saying, wow, there's life here. It makes sense.
We are ready for this.
We can reorder our lives around this.
Yes.
When people do that and realize this is not just about teachings or about an idea or a great leader from the past. It is about life transformation right here and right now. Mm-hmm. Big things still happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one night after all of this has occurred, Paul has a vision in which he heard the Lord's voice. Paul, do not be afraid. Speak. Don't be silent. I am with you and no one will lay a finger on you to harm you. I have many in this city who already are my people.
Hmm. I don't imagine that there was a little bit of trepidation for Paul in the situation, because the last three times we read about there being a great move of God in the city, the very next thing you hear about is him getting beat to a pulp.
Or left for dead.
Or left for dead, or exactly. Kicked out of the city, or dumped in jail. It's like you're kind of bracing yourself for the other shoe to drop, so to speak.
Right.
And so now God's reassuring him in his own dreams, perhaps having nightmares about his last imprisonment. We don't know. Mm. But in the midst of that dream time, God comes to Paul and says, don't fret. Mm. That's what he means by that.
Yeah.
Don't stew over things that might happen to you that you think about or that you remember from last time. I'm with you here. Just relax.
I just love the scriptures that we read when God himself impresses on us. Mm. Do not be afraid.
Yeah.
I am with you. I will not forsake you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you without provision. I just love that.
Yeah.
Because you and I have been in times in our marriage, in our family, in our life where it feels like we're at the end of it. It feels like we don't know what to do next. To hear those words, do not be afraid. I am with you. I have many people who will rise up and take care of you and believe in you again and walk side by side with you.
It's important to recognize, too, that this is a deeply emotional statement by God. Mm-hmm. And we're reading it in English, but even in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic, and in the Greek, in all three of these languages, what we're hearing is God saying a raft of emotions. He's not just saying, don't be afraid in the sense of, ooh, a scary thought. Mm-hmm. He's saying, do not panic. Do not bow to anxiety and depression. He's saying, avoid, run from those things that are attacking your sense of well-being, your willingness to, by faith, follow me in truth. Mm-hmm. He's saying, run from the things that would attack and assault you and derail you, and stay steadfast in the place that I put you. Do not turn to the left or to the right. Stay focused on me. Which is like Peter outside the boat. We know that as long as he looked right in Jesus' eyes on the water, nothing could let him sink. Mm. As long as their eyes were locked, he was on that plane with Jesus. He wasn't going anywhere. As soon as he looked at the waves and looked at the storm above him, looked behind him, how far he was away from the boat, everything else became a reference point. But Jesus, he went straight down because the gravity of the world around him became the thing that anchored him again, not the eyes of Jesus. So I really do believe that this is exactly the kind of thing he's talking about. When Peter began to panic, he sank like a rock because that's the way of the world. He was obeying the laws of physics again. But when we talk about locking your eyes on Jesus, we're obeying the law of faith, which supersedes the laws of physics at times and does the impossible. And so I think in his dream time, the Holy Spirit's saying, lock eyes on me, buddy. Stay with me on this thing. Do not fret. Do not panic. Do not worry about what might come. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to give you this additional promise. No beatings this time. No one's going to take you down. That must have been a great comfort to him as well.
Yes.
Enough for him to remember it in the morning and tell it to his friends.
Right. Right. After such turmoil in previous cities, these words encouraged Paul to extend his stay in Corinth, teaching the message of God among them for a year and 6 months. During this time, some Jews organized an attack on Paul and made formal charges against him to Gallio, the proconsul of Achaia. This man is convincing people to worship God in ways that contradict our Hebrew scriptures. Paul was about to speak, but Gallio spoke first. Look, if this were some serious crime, I would accept your complaint as a legitimate legal case. But this is just more of your typical Jewish squabbling about trivialities in your sacred literature. I have no interest in getting dragged into this kind of thing. So he threw out their case and drove them away from his bench. They were furious and seized Sosthenes, a synagogue official. Then they beat him in front of the tribunal, and Gallio just ignored them. At the end of the 18 months, Paul said goodbye to the believers in Corinth. Wait a minute. Let's back up here.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute. We're just going to pass right over that.
Here. Yeah. Scripture is not really good about actually organizing the narrative into paragraphs and chapters like that. They kind of float along when they actually put the numbers in there to help break it up to make it easier to write on parchments. But we do have a full stop here. This was the end of a story and the beginning of the next one. Think about what the Greeks overlooked here. The Jews had a lot of power in the city, obviously, and they were incensed because the civil authorities weren't taking them seriously. This was everything to them, order and decorum within their own faith that guided all of their life. In most religions, they have an ethic about the way your faith should work itself out in the public realm. And they were literally saying that our social order, our way of organizing our lives and our morality is breaking down. You take that seriously because our community is falling apart because of this guy. That's their argument.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.